So, Hare Krishna, I want to welcome all of you to for joining us in this little seminar, which is called The Art of Transformation. This is the second part of this, and I want to describe in this seminar a little bit what has to happen in order to make a piece of, let me say, a normal conditioned soul into a devotee, or to turn a materialist into a spiritualist, if you so want. That's definitely a transformation which we can compare with a transformation of iron into gold. It's not an easy thing. When sometimes spiritual life is seen really as an addition to one's ordinary life. But if we take spiritual life serious, then it becomes our life, and the ordinary life disappears after some time. For a transformation of the heart, just so that you know what we are speaking about, a profound change of the personality has to happen. He has to understand, first of all, that he is actually a spiritual soul, a part of Krishna. He's not a Persian lady, not a German, let me say, person from Hamburg, not even a Patel from Gujarat. He is an eternal spiritual soul. You are laughing about it, but I think this is so profound, so fascinating, that we are not that what we usually, how we present ourselves to the world. The Vaishnavas have taken this thought. I'm aham brahmasmi, I'm a spiritual soul, further into finer and finer definitions of I'm a servant of Krishna, or I'm a servant of Srimati Radharani. It becomes very, very fine, but we have to really start, if we speak of actual transformation and taking this to heart, by understanding we are not the body and we are not our labels which we carry around, German, Persian, not even Gujarat. I'm aware that many of our devotees come from the Gujarati community in London, and therefore I'm using this example, but it holds for all other labels which we have. So we have to start really with a new sense of self that brings a lot of things with them. New thoughts and new feelings arise, new values and new desires, what I really wish my life to become. A new behavior with totally new actions, and even new dreams. New dreams. Then you know that the transformation has really worked on you. If you dream of Krishna, if Krishna is so much part of your life that you dream of him, that your unconscious is engaged, and finally, obviously, a new life comes. Now, I've drawn a little chart for you, which we will try to make a little sharper. I think we have Is it possible to focus, or is it focused and I don't? Maybe. Haha. See. This is my long distance. I call it my darshan glasses because I usually only use them for going to the deities. It's all right, actually, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. I wanted to show you this chart a little, which I've made for you just before we came. I found in the Vedas the dynamics of transformations really nicely explained. Now, before you look at it, please look at me. Life goes always like this. There is winter, winter, then summer comes, then again the winter comes, the summer comes. There are always changes. Or you are born, you grow up, you become older, despite all your exercises and diets that happened to me. Then again, you are passing through that narrow gateway of death. Then you are born again. You become younger. Not younger, you become a young person. You become older, and again everything declines and you go towards death. Let me say, the rhythm in this nature can be best explained with a wave model. It goes up and down. In English you have this word, the vicissitudes. Do you know this word? Do I say it correctly, Nishkanchana?
Okay.
It's okay for a German can say it like this. The vicissitudes means the up and down. You know this word? It's a new word. Vicissitudes. Can some English person please speak it for me?
Vicissitudes.
Vicissitudes. Yeah. Really? Any learned person here amongst us?
Ups and downs.
Let's stay with the ups and downs. Good. The ups and downs of life are like this. So if you sincerely want to go into the art of transformation, you have to make use of this. You have to surf the waves. It starts usually, the real transformation, when you see a strong limitation of your life and you feel dissatisfied. A person who wants to keep things the way they are at present cannot really enter into real spiritual life and undergo a transformation. Then he moves into a liminal space. That means he passes out of his old life into a threshold and crosses a threshold to a life which he does not know at the present moment in all the details. This is when some of us, let me give myself as an example. I come from a well-established family in Germany, and I became dissatisfied with my material life and also my opportunities. Yes, there was a lot of opportunity to make money, but this was not satisfying for me, because I saw my relatives quarreling amongst themselves. There was no love amongst themselves. I think making money and wanting to make material success makes is bad for relationships. So I then left that and went to the London Temple. It was at that time in Bury Place, I remember, right. And really, it was for me, when I entered there, an unknown place. Just imagine, at that time, we didn't have personal property. In other words, the shirt which I was wearing today was worn the next day by Brahmachari so-and-so. We didn't even have at that time a sleeping place for us. It was so new for me, so unknown for me, and I did not really know what the future would bring. But I left my old space and went into a new space, the liminal space, which you can describe a little bit with a still point. From this point of not knowing, of entering something new in your life, you have for the first time a lot of opportunities, possibilities which you did not have before when you were entangled in your old life. Is it clear? I'm entering into a space of unknowing. I'm entering a still point where I'm leaving everything old behind. I'm taking a risk, really, to doing this. And from there only, I'm free now for the new things to happen. I need to create space first in my life if I want new things to enter. Do you understand? If I'm so full with the old, how is it possible? So this is called, the still point is Adyanta Abhava. It is a scary zone because where am I? I'm not here and I'm not there, really. I'm only walking on the basis of my faith forward. But as I am in this space and I'm moving forward with spiritual practices, all of a sudden a new life emerges. I'm rising, this is my fourth point, rising from the still point and building one's new life. It's called Pragabhava. No? Let me give you again as an example. I left my wealthy home and I went into the still point. For me, this was Bury Place. That's where I was born, if you ask me. And everything was new. I didn't have anything to my name any longer. I had to share the bathroom with 50 enthusiastic bathers, you know, co-bathers. That was unknown, you know. I was shy to show myself in public. Fortunately, someone handed me a gamsha, and then we took the shower, and then we went into new cloth. And what would the day be like? I had no idea. I was on Sankirtan in Oxford Street the next day. Now, you can see, from there I have risen. My new life has emerged. In a way, you can say I've died a little death in the still point, and now my new life has emerged. I'm now really no longer, I'm not a CEO. I should be a C, what is it? CEO, I think it's called. I should be dressed now in a blue jacket, a blue shirt, and these fine little stripes. That would be my taste. I should have a decent haircut like Babish. Maybe more sideburns. I would have. But this has not happened. I'm now a well-known Swami in our own little circle, the Hare Krishna movement. No? So my new life has emerged, and I must say I like this life which I'm living more than the one with the blue suit. No? And I have many opportunities which I didn't have. I know so much more. I have friends in all over the world. I'm traveling to America. I'm traveling to Russia. I'm traveling to India and to places I would never have gone. I know now many interesting or different people I would not have known before. But now the thing is, my dear devotees, if I want to advance and move on, I will have to again enter into the same zone which I had entered when I was a young person. I have to discover my new opportunities. I'm doing this personally. Once a year, I'm closing my life down. I go to a little clay hut in India, and I just spend time with the holy name. Everything, there is no mobile phone, there is enough prasadam by Krishna's mercy, and so on. But I'm scaling my old life down to discover or to make a new transformation so that I can advance beyond this point. I do not wish to die as Satchinandan Swami. I mean, yes, Satchinandan Swami, I want to die, but not as I'm presently am, you know, because I'm not satisfied also with my level of advancement. I heard on the train a lecture which I wanted to tell you about. It was given by a very respected god brother of mine who said, I'm actually disappointed in myself because I know on the altar there is Madhava. He was speaking in Shida Mayapur and playing his flute, but I can't hear it. Of course, I can imagine to hear it. Some of us are very expert in that. But I can't hear it. I'm disappointed with myself very much. I'm not participating in the reality of spiritual life fully. So, yes, the person I'm presently am, I have to give that up. Otherwise, I would be in the false ego of being a well-known Swami in a small little world of the Hare Krishna movement. That is not very satisfying, you know. That is not an end station of spiritual development. Do you understand what I'm getting at? The art of transformation is something which should go on constantly until we reach our spiritual perfection. If we are not willing to do this, we end really up in a compromised spiritual life. We will not wake up in our eternal identity as a devotee of Krishna. We will just be really, we will be cheated in our lives. And we will know that at the hour of our death. I did not use my opportunities which Krishna gave me in this life. So this constant, we have a name for this in our language. It's called advancement. Have you heard this name? And I think we use it in every second sentence in the Hare Krishna movement and may not think about it very deeply. But advancement means you are on the move. You are moving forward. You are a pilgrim in this world. You are not someone who builds a house on a bridge. Bridge is a place for crossing over, not for building a house. So this life is a bridge to eternity. You can make it like this, and therefore the constant purification has to go on. Do you have any question regarding this this subject which we have there?
Maharaj, a simple one. The word liminal, could you explain what it means? I haven't come across that.
Yeah, it's not in many dictionaries. Liminal is a language which is used, it's an English word. It means, it has something to do with limits. The word is limits. Limits. When you go beyond your present limitations, you enter into it's called a liminal space. It's a space where you have opportunities to discover something entirely new. There are good dictionaries available. You can find them. Do you want to see in your dictionary?
I cannot find a better one than yourself.
Oh, I'm learning English from Gaur Krishna. Since Gaur Krishna is with me, I have to improve my English, so I'm constantly learning and surprising him sometimes that I have found new words which he has to look up also. Yes. So my dear devotees, when you become a devotee, it's not about changing your hairstyle. It's not about dressing in saris. Although in our movement sometimes it seems to be like this. Do you fulfill all the requirements? Are your neck beads in shape? Do you have enough rows? And so on. Do you have already a spiritual name? It's even not about that, my dear devotees. It's about changing the heart of purifying the heart. And I want to tell you as an elderly men now in our movement, you will not be satisfied unless and until you practice spiritual life on that level. Prabhupada said once, he wrote this down in the second canto, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. Hare Krishna. Transformation, what is it really? It's an inner change, and I would like to give you an example of a child. A child, in the beginning, when it's small, wants to be with toys, his toys. When it grows up further, it develops other desires. I remember how I used to terrorize my poor parents when we went on holidays, and after already having gone for many kilometers from our home, I noticed my favorite toy. He was called Winnie Pooh. It was a Winnie Pooh toy. Is it still existence, such a toy? We have in England also, yeah. If Winnie Pooh was not there, I would make a terroristic invasion into the peace of my parents, you know. I would scream, where is Winnie Pooh? We can't go without Winnie Pooh. How can you be so cruel to leave Winnie Pooh at home without company? What will he do? He will just be mental. Then I grew up, and it was no longer Winnie Pooh which captured my attention. It was my little red bicycle with which I drove. And then I grew up further, and now it was music and favorite tunes which I became attached to and which I desire to hear. And then I grew up, I became a devotee, and all of a sudden, oh, I wanted dhotis, not CDs. And in this way my desires changed as I matured and left one understanding and one phase in my life to go into the next phase. And this process has to go on until the moment of death. This transformation of your inner life, because you should mature, you should wish to change your life. To make it all it can do. This is what comes with the human form of life. This a great opportunity to take the full advantage of the opportunities that the Lord has given us at the time of our human birth. It's the human birth which is ideally suited for this process of transformation. So, yesterday I said this transformation is not possible really, or not so easily possible on one's own. But if there are at least three powerful agents of transformation intact in your life, it can happen. The first agent of transformation is good association. Because it is in good association that you get new impetuses. I can say I have a personal I know someone who on one of our retreats had association with people who lived a compromised spiritual life, and after being in the association, that person was very much bewildered about what to do in the life. Then the same person went into good association, and also on this particular retreat met some wonderful devotees of Krishna who took interest in and mercy upon him. And all of a sudden, in that association, new impetuses, new perspectives were born. Good association gently inspires. Bad association very much forcefully and inspires you or covers you with the influence, sometimes without you noticing it. You know, this point with association is that there are things happening which are almost too difficult for a normal person to see. I like to give an example of this from my own travel experience. I was once flying from Atlanta in America to somewhere, I forgot, was it Russia or was it the Ukraine? I'm traveling so much, and I'm usually only make sure that I'm in the right airplane. The rest I'm not so interested, because it's everywhere the same. I come to an airport, Vaishnavas are there and give me flowers and bananas, and then they bring me to the next lecture place, And then I step into the lecture hall. Many devotees say, give him three loud Hari Bols. And then I'm already used to this, so I'm... Then I sit down and deliver my goods try to serve my audience as good as I can. And then I get up, go in the... I'm driven to a place. Then I speak to devotees until the night falls. And then I go to bed and wake up happily in the morning for the next day. So this is, wherever this is, I really don't care. If it's in America, I often wake up and say, where are we now? America, England, Germany? Oh, it doesn't matter. I anyways know only two languages well enough to communicate, English and German. So I somehow will be able to bring my subjects to my audience. But I have a lot of experience doing traveling. I can see a lot doing traveling. And once I saw something which I want to tell you about. It was the power of association. I saw, we call it in our language, a Maya Devi, who really cared about her attention and said, she was in that one of those persons who think, with my beauty I can get everything, absolutely everything. So let me put maximum stress on my hairstyle, on my perfume, on my dress, and so on. So she, such a person, was entering and sitting down somewhere. And then I saw a rich man, a businessman, entering, passing by her, and she must have done something, maybe something like this, and his attention was captured for a moment, and he went, he was bewildered, he turned around and went and found his place, somehow there was some communication over the rows. At least that's how I can only explain it. The next time I looked, he was sitting next to her, and he was red in his face, and he was perspiring profusely. You could almost smell him over four rows because he broke through his parfum with his aggressive smell. What had happened? A communication had taken place. A sangha. This lady who was practiced in the art of deception had somehow gotten his attention. He must have gotten her vibration over. He must have received it over one of his chakras, his energy circles, his subtle receivers of energy, and been drawn there and sat there, and responded on the same level. Later, that businessman came by, and I wanted to make an experiment. I said, please come sit with me. Let us talk philosophy. He was willing to do that. He was an intelligent man. And he then, after we had discussed for an hour, he said, wow, I feel totally different when I sat down. What happened to me? And I said, the power of association happened to you. You had one type of association, and you had now association with a person who tries to be spiritual in his life, and you must have felt a difference. He said, not a difference, it's a different world here, and I'm thanking you very much. I would like to know more about this. And I said, it's called Sangha, and it affects the heart very deeply. You have to see what is your goal in life, and then you have to pick people who are either who have reached that goal or who are like you trying to reach the goal, and all of a sudden you will see it is difficult to explain in 2 minutes, but you will see how that affects you. What exactly happens in Sangha, my dear devotees, is something very subtle. Would you like to know it?
Yes.
See, this is from the Shastras. We all have different energy circles. They're called chakras in our subtle body. There is a lower energy chakra which makes you feel you want to be secure, you want to be rooted. There is a slightly higher chakra which is responsible for feelings of emotions like lust and repulsion, don't like. But then there is a higher energy circle, it's called the Anahata chakra, where feelings of base feelings are, it's feelings of sympathy, of gratitude, of gratitude, of selfless love. Now when we come in contact with certain people whose consciousness is on certain of these levels which I have briefly described, some of them, then that creates a resonance in us. I would like to give a very good example. Have you seen someone, when you see someone like Sutapa, I will use him as an example because we all know him and most of us appreciate him very much. When you are with him and you talk with him, you feel relaxed, you feel peaceful, you feel you can trust this person and tell him what is in your heart and so on. You feel almost a widening of the heart. Yes? No?
Yes.
Or amongst the Matajis, there, I think you also have your role models. We will invite a very amazing person, Vishakha Devi Dasi, who is an old Prabhupada disciple. When we have our next Pandavasena retreat, because it's a very mature Vaishnavi, and you know, but there are also people, when you are close to them, you feel almost like you're shrunken, you know. And there are people, we don't wish to say this in great detail, but there are people, when you are around them, you just feel more worldly inclined, because their high energy, or where their consciousness is concentrated, that will bring certain qualities or certain energy places in you. It will strengthen them and make them resonates. Yes, this is what happens. We react to all, mostly to many people, but of course we react more when we are more open for their influence. When you, for instance, meet a genuine sadhu and you can open your heart, then you have so much benefit. But if you meet him and you are a little bit closed in your heart, I'm not sure, then obviously this effect is not so strong on you, no? Because you are closed. So, my dear devotees, Sangha works miraculously. It works also in a way which is not, which you cannot easily understand. I gave you now a theoretical understanding, and I believe, and I talked on a level which most of you have experience of. But oh, yeah, we could go so subtle, but because many of us are not so thoughtful in their lives, it is not good, valuable here to talk about these things. But this is enough, because we can understand it all easily. My dear devotees, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra kaya, all scriptures speak about this. Have sadhu sangha. And even an 11th part of a second will affect you. What can happen in the 11th part of a second? Any big lecture? 11th part of a second is this short. What can happen is the transfer of energy. Huh? It's called the spiritual shakti. Can, when you open your heart, can happen. Not a big lecture can happen in the 11th part of the second. So, therefore, my dear devotees, go into good association. It works on you like the heat in the oven works on the bread and makes it a well-cooked bread. Choose your association wisely. I know we can't always choose, because when we transmute, when we go from one working, from our home to the working place, we can't choose who's in the subway or who's on the London bus. Therefore, we must be a little careful to not open ourselves to the influence which we do not wish in our lives. But if you wish to have good, prosperous spiritual life, choose your association very wisely, because a subtle energy transfer, which you don't even notice, takes place and works on you, either positively or negatively. That is also that's always the secret for spiritual life. If you wish to advance, look for that association which is according to your desired outset, and don't be so full of yourself that you think, no, I'm with everyone. I'm very liberal, loyal liberalist. I'm very liberal. It's good to be not closed, but when you are, and yes, you should be, you should go everywhere and so on. But my point is, be careful where you open your heart. Be very careful, because it can really help you wonderfully. And I saw this with this one devotee who's not with us in the group or in the hall at the moment. I saw how he was influenced in a negative way and in a positive way according to the association. If you want to have good sadhu sangha, there are a few things you should know. You should learn the language, a new language, means a new way of living in sadhu sangha. In sadhu sangha, we usually want to hear, but we have a problem. Many of us have a problem. We are so full with our own ideas that we are not willing to hear new ideas. So we should, as we enter sadhu sangha, enter also the still point. Let your mind be still. Let your let your make yourself open to the new influences. That's very, very important, and then you will see new possibilities emerge. The second very powerful means which can help you to effect a transformation is to chant the holy name. Now this everyone knows in our movement, but let me speak a little bit about an experience which I have made during the Kirtan Melas or the many Kirtan retreats where I'm invited to present. I have always seen when devotees come and sit down to chant, usually their life sits down right next to them. And sometimes, if the devotees are not careful, their lives will not tolerate that now their main man, or the main woman, you know, that is you, will leave the old life behind and just open yourself to the holy name. When you sit, you should really sit down and come again into the still point, where your thoughts of what you have to do, what you have done before, you renounce these thoughts, and you are now associating with Krishna. Chanting means really to always have Krishna in the heart. Then the chanting is a good chanting. If you have other things, material things in your heart, then you won't have the full benefit. The chanting, once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, and he was about to finish his pastime. He looked at the forest of Puri, which came to the ocean, and in his mind he saw the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and heard the enchanting flute of Krishna. He was really not he was in his consciousness, middle consciousness, where he had left the world and was with Krishna. He looked at the ocean and the blue waters in his mind's eye turned into the Yamuna. He was in the Yamuna. Oh, thank you. You have opened the window. Thank you. How conscious you are. And we hear the birds also, isn't it? So, the Vaishnava came at that time. His name was Krishna Das, and asked him, "My dear Lord," Lord Chaitanya took some time, but then he was there, fully there with the devotee. "My dear Lord, can I ask a question?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Asked. We see that all of your devotees are chanting, but some of them make advancement and progress, and others are not making advancement or progress. What's the difference?" Lord Chaitanya, would you like to know his answer? It's a very, very, very simple answer. Lord Chaitanya said, "The difference is some are chanting with faith and others are chanting without faith." Now, what faith was Mahaprabhu referring to? The faith which Mahaprabhu was referring to is called technically alokika shraddha. That is faith in spiritual things. What this means is, when you chant, that you have faith in theory that the name which you are now chanting is Krishna. It is identical with Krishna. And those who have that faith will advance very quickly. One kirtan and their life is not the same any longer. Then the next kirtan, their life is also no longer the same because they have just met Krishna in his holy name. This is marks a lot of the is very important when you chant. You have to chant with faith. In the beginning, it is all right if you somehow or other chant, like Ajamil. He chanted Narayan, Narayan, Narayan as the Yamadutas were taking him from his body. He meant his own son. But because he chanted the holy name, it was as if a child touches unknowingly the fire. It gets burned. The fire acts. So the holy name also acted. The Lord Narayan sent his Vishnu Dutas, who saved him from death and gave him a second chance. But Ajamil used the second chance. He now did not no longer chant like before. He went to Hardwar on a japa retreat. I don't want to say like this. He went to an ashram and he practiced the ninefold practices of devotional service with full consciousness, and then he could go back home, back to Godhead. Before he couldn't. So, my dear devotees, what was the difference between his first chanting and his second chanting? The first chanting was done without faith. The second chanting, which brought him back to Krishna, was done with full faith. Yes, you can somehow or other chant in the beginning. That's how we all start. But after some time, we should come to the second mode of chanting. Giving the chanting our best, making it the best experience in our life, being fully focused there and understanding this my time with Krishna. What do you think, Nishkinshin? It's a good point, isn't it? Then Krishna will come, Nishkinshin. He will be with you. He will think, he is my devotee. He has given up so much. He is making so much seva in the Bhaktivedanta manner. Being one of the pillars there. My Nishkinshin, Krishna will think. And now he is inviting me. He turns to me. This is very good. So this chanting with faith is very important, not without faith. And the last powerful agent I would like to say, talk about, is the regular reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear devotees, some of you have not yet met Srila Prabhupada. I'm saying it again. Some of you have not yet met Srila Prabhupada. What do you mean, Maharaj? How can we meet Prabhupada? He left in 1977, and I am only with the movement since 2009. How could I have met him? You could have met Prabhupada by now every day, my dear devotees, because he said he would be present in his books. He said this very strongly. Before he left, he said, you can meet me in my books. I personally thought, it won't be the same, Prabhupada. Or you are just saying it because you feel you have to encourage us. But I made a personal discovery not really so many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, where I was in great physical pain and I was before a surgery. I had to take surgery. It was so painful, and then I wanted to. I chanted during that time extra rounds. Sometimes I had to do a shoulder stand to stand on the shoulder because I was in so much pain. But I tried to offer rounds to Krishna. And in that year, I read. I took shelter in the Bhagavatam. I discovered the Bhagavatam for myself anew. And I can't describe what happened. I read every day the Bhagavatam, and I felt Prabhupada's presence so strongly that now I just am sure, my dear devotees, if you can do this every day, it will take you 10 to 20 days to become accustomed to it, because the mind says, no, why not read this, why not read that, or TV is also there, and Mahabharata is also shown on TV, so I will see in my free time. I'm not saying TV is not there, but I'm saying Bhagavatam is there. If it's not yet there, you can purchase a whole set. The temple shop will be happy with your investment. If you read it regularly, you will actually see two things. You will associate with Prabhupada, and as the Bhagavatam says, Krishna will come personally and sit on the lotus of your heart. That's the promise of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam promises, if we read regularly, we must read in three ways. Regularly, and we should read with faith, and we should endeavor to be concentrated fully as we read. We must give our rapt attention. So if you do this regularly, read with faith, and give your rapt attention, my dear devotees, then Krishna will fulfill his promise. He will sit on your heart. And you will see after some time as you go in life, oh, the Bhagavatam would say, do it like this. Oh, the Bhagavatam would say, do it like this. And you will get an entirely new direction. These three practices in Kali Yuga are enough to bring you back to Godhead. Sangha, the holy name, and hearing the Bhagavatam. It is very, very powerful, the three agents of transformations. And try to make it a point to have these three agents every day in your life, every single day. See how you can get some good sangha. Sometimes if you can't meet devotees, you can listen to a lecture or half a lecture, even if you don't have time for the entire lecture. You can split it up. There are devices. We have unfortunately a CD player where we just can't split it up, but there are modern, I think, devices where you can hear half a lecture and then the next day continue in the other half. No problem. Sangha. Then when you sit down, let us practice this evening. I want to teach you this evening how to have a double good kirtan experience. And then try to read the Bhagavatam every day and regularly. This is my little recommendation. But just to end this, this will also, I said it's enough to bring you back to Godhead. Now I will say, almost. Almost. One element needs to be there. Who can give me that element? mercy. Wonderful. Any other element?
Devotional service.
Wonderful point.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion.
Prayer.
Prayer, yes. Bhavesh looked what I was doing, getting my prayer book out, and then he said prayer, isn't it? Bhavesh could get a job in Sherlock Holmes. All what you said is absolutely correct. There are many. It's assumed that when you have sangha, chant the name, please engage in me in my not in my service, but in your service. And when you hear the Bhagavatam, you will definitely take the lessons to heart and do seva and so on. I wanted to also say prayer. Because, my dear devotees, let's face it, we are not so qualified. I know this is the hardest pill to swallow, at least for my older disciples. When I say this, they get a red face and turn against me. But that's the fact. We are not so qualified in Kali Yuga. It is there. So we need to pray. There is a prayer which Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanted, and it's really a prayer which is very, very thought-provoking. He prays, "O Gopinath, my mind is completely mad, crazy. Pagal." That's Bengali, no? "It does not accept any discipline. Whenever I want to do something for a longer time, the mind says, brr." Do you know this? "And my mind always remains ignorantly in the fearsome pit of sense gratification. I think of my own gratification most of the time." Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "O Gopinath, I have accepted my defeat." I don't know if some of you were... I have a history of street fighting. I can't believe it any longer. Just for a few months. I joined when I was 60. My experiences of the world are not so long. But I remember when you had a stronger opponent, he was sitting on you, he had pressed both your shoulders on the ground, and he was now going for the kill, that is, beating the life out of you. You had to do this. "I'm defeated. I give up." You know, that is the movement you have to do to save your life. So this is, "O Gopinath, I have accepted defeat. All my careful endeavors have proven futile. I can't fight on my own any longer. Now you are my only hope. O Gopinath, how will my salvation be achieved? My powerful senses have brought my mind under their control and do not relinquish their addiction to worldly enjoyment." And then he says, Gopinath, you are Hrishikesha. To me, Hrishikesha, you have seen me without any shelter. You are the master of the senses. So subdue my senses and deliver me from this dark and dangerous worldly existence. unless you again and again come to this point, which is really the still point, the ultimate still point, where you surrender to Krishna, where you give up on your own, and you pray to Krishna sincerely for mercy. Now, unless you come there again and again, no matter if you are a young devotee, an old devotee, a sannyasi, a guru, even a GBC member, or you know, whatever, you have to come to this point. And older devotees or advanced devotees can tell you that is the secret of their success, to come again and again to this point where they really accept their defeat, means where they understand, on my own I cannot do anything, Krishna, please help me. This is then Krishna will send his waves of mercy in your direction, and he will uplift you from your present dangerous position. Krishna, Krishna. Gopinath prayers. Ooh. Get yourself a copy of the Gopinath prayers. They are on internet also. They are freely available. So, Hare Krishna. I have come to the end of this presentation. Do you have any questions? Yes.
So this diagram is very interesting.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. But is it really a wave that keeps on and on, and you have to keep coming back to the still point at every point? And can you, the way you started talking about it, I thought that this was like your life plan, that you, before you get to the still point, yeah, and now you're here. But then you carried on saying that you need to, and that worries me a little bit, because how many times do you need to keep emptying yourself so you can make space for more?
Yeah. You are thank you very much for asking this question. It's a very, very good question, and I'm very happy to see that you understood what I was presenting. Yes, you are right. The decision to become a devotee, that big decision where you really leave so much behind. I mean, you change entirely your life. Even your name is different when you get initiated. That one change is when it's done. It's done now. But on the way from Shraddha to Prema, you know, this we heard yesterday Sutapa Prabhu talking about the journey, you're moving on. Now let me ask you a little question. How did it feel when you became a devotee? Wasn't it in some ways a great relief? My description, which I gave, was from one side what I had given up, and where it was an external description. If I tell you what went on in my heart, oh, finally! I have a good friend in India. He always says, Maharaj, who knows how many lifetimes we have prayed to be able to engage in devotional service, and we now have the opportunity. Similarly, whenever you surrender more, you feel very relieved. Do some of you have writing tables? Is this still, or is it too old-fashioned? Where you writing tables means where you work? Have your computer, books? I see. I have a secretary. He has a big, massive table, and from time to time it gets filled with stacks of paper on one side, on things to do on another side, all the presents which people give him for me. and then there is here his stash for emergency times, means some refreshment. And everything is available on that writing table, you know. And from time to time he cleans his table and it feels really and he looks always very blissful when he sits on a cleaned table. And I think we all know this. I also have this. When you go to me and look, when I'm at the moment writing, there are piles of books. You cannot see me almost. I'm so much involved. But when I then finally have finished one task, and I can take everything down, make the table clear for the new task, I just could sit and look at my table and feel relieved and blissful. I have one God brother who said, every month I unclutter my life. He says, I have a little bag. It's a little bit like this. And every month the bag becomes like this. And then I go, no longer needed. And feel great relief. I want to say coming to the still point means to unclutter your life. Is that an English word? Unclutter? Declutter. Detoxify your system, and so on. In this world, we always accumulate things which are no longer suitable. Sometimes it can be relationships. Relationships, there's something, it's sometimes like a lift, you know. In a lift, new people enter the lift and old people leave the lift, no? And so in the human form of life that happens also. Some people come and if there are no longer discussions going on, no longer heart-to-heart communication, after some time there's nothing to say and the people leave the lift of your life. So if you want in spiritual life deeper relationships, be careful that this doesn't happen to you, that people who are dear to you are all of a sudden leaving the lift. You know, you must keep connection with them. You must keep serving Vaishnavas and so on, so that this doesn't happen. Otherwise, yeah, the world is like this. So, but sometimes it's good if old people leave the lift. You know, the lift is too full, and also they talk about things which are no longer relevant. And so on. So this very very important to decide where are those relationships which are for life, and where are those relationships who are for certain phases in life, like for instance the mailman who comes here every day. If we try to preach to him, I once tried with another mailman when I was living here. It was clear. It was only a mail relationship. Here are your letters. Sign here. That was the relationship. And now where I'm no longer here, I don't meet this mailman any longer because the relationship is no longer possible like this. So it's very, very important that we decide on a few relationships with whom we go. But I wanted to make a general point. Uncluttering or decluttering your life is important, is very important. Especially when you come to Krishna consciousness, you are no longer in the same lift. You don't want to go any longer to the same floor. You want to go higher. And some of the people just don't want to come to the higher next floor. They are satisfied with the floor where they are. So let them be that. That is their decision. In other words, coming to the still point again and again is not a difficult thing. It is a relieving thing. When it will help you. It's not expected that you die 50,000 deaths on your. Yeah.
And you need courage to get over the threshold, I think.
Yeah. You are absolutely right. And therefore Sangha is so important. Mm. To have association with the right people. When you have association with the right people, you don't even notice how you go. You just go walk nicely through the still point. You don't even notice. You will say, I'd rather be with these people than with those people. You know, it's not a difficulty. Sangha is very important on this path.
May I be very happy to ask you one little question?
Yes.
It's to do with the holy name. But I was listening to one of your lectures and I missed a critical point. I don't know, my mind must have gone somewhere. And is it right that unless you do the chanting, the japa, with full attention and focus and love and all the qualities that you
mm-hmm.
do, unless you do that, you might miss the boat. If you're doing it mechanically, if you're doing it inattentively, that it is akin to wasting your time?
I see there are two. In japa, there are two considerations. Quality and just the quantity. And both have their justification. Quality is if you want to really go deeper in your relationship. But quantity, that is that you keep a certain commitment each day, that is there to show Krishna that you really care about the relationship. It is quantity is you show Krishna, you show up. Have you sometimes had appointments where the other person doesn't show up? It doesn't feel right. I had it once. I was giving initiations on Srila Prabhupada's behalf. And there was one devotee who didn't show up for his initiation. So I was terribly worried because in my mind, to not show up for such an important appointment means there must be a fatal accident. I was really worrying. Then I met him 3 days, 3 weeks later, and I just had tears in my eyes. Ah, good, you are still alive. Yes, he said. Well, why not? And I said, well, you were not. There was this initiation, no? Yes. Then I understood, by the sound of the yes, I understood everything and I became extremely polite. I said, oh yeah, that's, yeah. You most probably thought of some good walk you could do in nature. Yes, that's you. We should show up when we chant. We should be there. We should not leave Krishna waiting for us. And when we have made a commitment to him, we should keep that commitment. After all, he's Krishna.
I just wanted to understand that how do we identify the areas of transformation? Is it very relative, or it kind of varies from individual to individual, or is it that there are some areas which are common to everyone? I can think of something like 26 qualities of a devotee. You should always be aiming to how do we identify those areas, or how do we do that internal searching all the time? Do you have any guidelines?
A general paradigm is how your faith increases in Krishna. By that you can really see that a transformation is taking place. The transformation from worldly faith, faith in your strengths, faith in the help of money in your life, faith in other human beings, that is faith of this world, into, oh, Krishna is really there, I should depend on Krishna more. If you can see that happening, that change from worldly faith or faith in worldly help into Krishna, you definitely know that there is an advancement, a progress in your transformation. And Rupa Goswami has given us a general guideline where we can look. It is the journey from Shraddha to Prema, which Sutapa yesterday introduced. I think you all know it and you remember. There you can also see. And really, if you look at that journey with one perspective, it's a journey of faith, really. More and more your faith in Krishna increases, and Krishna is more and more in the center of your life. There are symptoms of progress, and the general progress is you gain your attraction to Krishna. It becomes more. Faith and attraction is in some ways connected, or they lie very, very, very close to each other. And the other is you also lose your attraction to worldliness and worldly sense gratification. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Yogesh is here. I thought, where is Yogesh and his questions? Yogesh is our philosopher. Yes.
just a learner, really. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for sharing your personal aspects. If I may, could you just share a little bit further of your personal snippet? So last time you reached the still point, could you share with us what was the transformation?
We want to. Well, I was sitting. Have some of you done a pilgrimage to Vrindavan, first of all? Who has been in Vrindavan, if I may? Oh, good, the majority of you. Thank you. Have you noted in Vrindavan that sometimes you feel, you come into this point where you feel a little hopeless? Oh, why am I so so neophyte, or I can't relish this place. Sutapa spoke yesterday about it. A little bit. Or you see your own, let me say, inadequacy.
Inadequacy.
You know everything. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a very difficult word for me to pronounce. Inadequacies. Yes? Thank you. Inadequacies. That means you're where you are lacking, really. And I was sitting like this, and it's a little private, if you allow me to tell something else, not my last one. I will tell you a one before. Or a one which is a little back, because I feel it is so personally between me and Krishna, and it is very... it will mean a lot for me, but for you it might maybe not mean so much. So I will tell something which everyone can relate to. So I was... I do these japa retreats where I chant many, many extra rounds, and but I come to my limits, and I was one day with very much on my limit. I felt I'm not going anywhere. I'm not... my life is not progressing. I'm such a neophyte, and devotees respect me. This is not good. They should know I'm not an advanced devotee. I was feeling a little depressed about my own advancement, and I needed to, you know, because I do my chanting while I sit, so I felt, you know, so restless. So I took a bicycle and I went on a bicycle tour. I went around Giriraj and sat in this beautiful forest down and chanted under a tree. But it was not going anywhere, and I felt hunger, and I had eaten so austerely, just a little khichdi, and now where is the good things in life, you know? And I was really not in good consciousness, in very material consciousness. And finally I put the bibek down and said, "My Lord, I'm very sorry. I know I shouldn't ask you, but what can I do? I'm a little bit normal. I say what is in my mind. So can you please give me a sign that you care? I'm trying to do this for you, but I don't know if you care at all. Can you please give me a sign that I'm not just only endeavoring, and you are silent, and you don't hear anything." I was really like a little, almost a little bit demanding. "Please give me a sign, and it should be a sign which even I can understand in my present consciousness." So I chanted. I did not want to give up chanting. But I was little. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, chanting. All of a sudden, I heard the shrieking of parrots. I remember. And it was really loud. I thought, yes, let the parrots have their drama. I have my drama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But the parrots' shrieking became louder and louder, and really, really, really anxious shrieking, alarmed shrieking, shocked shrieking. Then I looked over, and what did I see? I saw a cobra coming my way, slithering my way, and two parrots flying towards the cobra and attacking it in the eyes. Now, a cobra doesn't need eyes to move. They can identify their victims through the fine nerves on the here on the belly. And I could see the cobra had me on the radar. It came for me. But still the parrots flew always on the cobra, and the cobra got these talons and the beaks and the eyes and could not really move as fast as it wanted, but it was considerably slowed down. So that was all the time which I needed. I jumped up and I ran. I even left my bag there. I ran for my life, and after some time the shrieking stopped and I turned around and I saw how the cobra had given up chasing after me and went towards its cave in the hot Govardhan. And I could understand, if the parrots had not stopped the cobra, it had gotten me and I would have died a very painful death. And a death in very bad consciousness. So I could understand that this was a response which even I could understand. My little life was saved by Giriraj at that time. He cared. He cared enough to send parrots and keep the snake away from me. And I do remember at that moment I could understand it's all real. Oh, yeah. And the clouds had gone. I had just come through another of the many still points in my life where the material thoughts were not there for a moment. My old life was not there. And I said, okay, let me enter the Bhakta program of Krishna consciousness. But now on my level of... let me be very conscious. Let me now take full shelter in Krishna. And I did, and it was a wonderful time. This was a little dramatic, but I have heard in London we need either jokes or dramatic stories to be awake. So here you had it, the dramatic story. It doesn't have to be so dramatic, but because we are in London, we have chosen this story. It can be much softer. The last ones were all of the soft nature, where I really could see, I readied myself, I said, my dear Lord, please help me, like I did on that day in Govardhan. I don't know any longer how to move forward. I am where I am. That is up to you to see where I am, but further I cannot move on my own. Please help me. And then always help comes. You have to just be a little attentive, Yogesh. I believe for many of you to come to this retreat was a little bit like coming to a still point, because it's a new environment. Everyone speaks German. No, nobody speaks German in Germany any longer. that's not the problem. Everyone speaks English, and no one actually speaks German any longer. When I give lectures here, I also give lectures in English, because most speak English. Because we are a rural temple, not a city temple. So... yeah, it's a point. I know I'm at the present moment approaching again a still point. How do I know it? Because I long very much for another to be closer to Krishna, and I'm not satisfied with my life as it is now. I'm just approaching it. It will be, I need 1 or 2 days more and boom, I'm through. And I feel already great relief just approaching it. Not that point where, from where you look sincerely for divine help. This evening it might be, it might come. Because this evening we do kirtan. Hare Krishna. I'm looking now at the time. I thank you very much that you are interested. We will have one more opportunity tomorrow, maybe. I will, one moment. Tomorrow. We can do this. Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow I will see you again. I wish you a wonderful day. Please stay for a moment. Santanu will give us a brief orientation what we should do. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.